because He lives, I can face tomorrow and the next day and the next day and whatever days He chooses to give. Because He lives. It's great to be with you this morning. You know, I read a survey, the latest Gallup poll survey that's come out. 90% of the people in America believe in God. A major portion of that, and I can't remember, I think it's like 85% are Christians. Okay. Today is a day that people all over the world are focusing on the fact that Jesus lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a great day it really is. Whether you call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday or whatever else you want to call it, the fact that people are focusing on the resurrection of Jesus is significant. See? It really, truly is. And I'm glad that we could be here together today, as we do each first day of the week, by the way, to celebrate the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And the message that I have for you today is continuing what we've been talking about in experiencing God, but it in a sense kind of wraps up a lot of the things that we've been focusing on about God's work, and it basically says God is going to get His work done. He is going to accomplish His work. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. And the fact of Jesus' resurrection is proof of the fact that God gets His work done. You see? And we need to see it as that. That was God's work, you see, was to reconcile man unto Himself, and He got it done. Amen? You see? He got it done because God gets His work done. Whatever it is that God sets out to do, God is going to accomplish. And that's something I want you to be focusing on this morning as we continue this look at the whole concept of experiencing God, getting to know God by our experience. Not just getting to know about Him, but getting to know Him by experiencing Him in our lives. As we go each day and we face tomorrow and the next day and the next day because we know that He lives. And so as we look at this whole idea of experiencing God and experiencing God's work and Him accomplishing His work, I call your attention to the text that was read for us in Isaiah chapter 46. Turn in your Bible there. And let's look again at what God through the prophet Isaiah is saying here. Okay? Now, God is speaking to the Israelite people here through the prophet Isaiah. And He's really talking to them about the fact that people are making, and including some of the Israelite people, are guilty of taking their gold and their silver and having, they take them to a goldsmith or a silversmith and they have an image made out of those things and they're worshiping it as gods, you see. And God recognizes that's what people are doing and He says, you know what, those gods can't do anything for you. When they want the God to move, they have to pick it up and carry it and put it where they want it to be. You see? And they pray to that God and it just sits there. It doesn't do a thing. It just sits there because it's not capable of doing anything. And what God is doing through this prophet is contrasting Himself as Jehovah God, the one true God, to these idols that people are making. And beginning in verse 10, He says, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. Didn't he do that with a man called Abram, by the way? You see? What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. You see, what we need to understand is God through the prophet Isaiah is saying, look, I've got plans for things. I've planned things out. I've got things that are going to happen, and I will make those things happen. God says, I've got work to do. I've got work going on, and I will accomplish that work. You see, one of the things that we need to understand is, and we look at today, we look at the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, and what did that accomplish? Was that God's work? Everybody's head should be going like this, okay? All right, that was God's work. It was the work of redemption, the work of reconciling man to himself. And did God accomplish that work? Absolutely. You see, that's what we celebrate on the first day of every week, the resurrection of Jesus. That he accomplished the reconciliation of man to God. But here's the part that people kind of get stumped on. People today seem to think in some ways that God finished that work and they're happy and glad that he did, and so now God's just kind of sitting up there in heaven, wherever heaven is, and he's just kind of letting things happen as it happens because he's already completed his work. And I say to you, not so. God is still working today. You see? He still has plans for us. As we saw earlier, he says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, God is still working today. And as he told the prophet Isaiah, or told the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, I will accomplish what I set out to do. And so I want you to think about, as I share some thoughts with you this morning, the fact that God is working in your life. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. God is always working around us. And the work that God has to do, he will accomplish. You see? One of the things that we've got to decide is, are we going to join him in his work? Are we going to be the instruments of his work and allow him to work his plan in and through us, or are we just going to stand in his way? Okay. What is it that you are going to do? Now, let's take a look at this in terms of the whole idea that says, okay, I accept that God has something for me to do, and he's told me this is what I need to be doing, but I'm not really sure, is it really what God wants me to do? I think that sometimes we kind of get caught in that. In other words, we know what the Bible says, but, you see, I know that God wants me to do this, but I'm not sure how that's going to work. And so what we often tend to do is we want some kind of proof, don't we? If I could only know that God really wants me to go here or go there or do this or do that, if there was some way that God would just let me know that for sure, then I wouldn't have a problem doing this. Have you ever been down that road? Yeah. You know, we want that assurance ahead of time. The problem is it doesn't work that way. You see? Because if God worked that way all the time, then we wouldn't need faith. We'd have sight, wouldn't we? You see? I want you to look with me over in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to take a look at Moses again, just one verse here. And I want you to notice something that's taking place in this passage. Now, this is when Moses first encountered the burning bush, okay? You know, Moses is out there and he's minding his own business, tending his sheep, right? And he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed by the fire. And so Moses is a little bit curious. I would think any of us would be, right? So what is going on here? So Moses moves a little bit closer, the Bible says, to investigate, and he comes there. And God speaks to him and says, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. So Moses finds himself in the presence of Almighty God. And this conversation begins between the two of them as to the work that God has planned for His people. And basically, if you'll allow me to paraphrase, you can read along there. He says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people Israel, and I'm about to set them free. And you're the guy that I've chosen to do that. This is my work. I'm going to free the Israelites, and you're the one that I've chosen to accomplish that work. And of course, Moses then starts objecting, doesn't he? You see? Now, I want you to notice verse 12. God said, I will be with you. This will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. Now notice this, underline this part in your Bible. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Did you catch what's happening there? When is it that Moses is going to get the proof that he wants, that it's really God who is speaking to him and is God who wants him to do this? Is it before he accomplishes God's work? That's what we want, right? Before I set out to do this, God, prove to me, make sure that I know, oh no, no, it's not before, it's afterwards. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, the proof is going to be, you're going to worship me on this mountain. That is after the fact, after the work has been accomplished, after Moses, through faith, has done what God told him to do. Then he will have the proof. You see, I think that for most of us, what we really want is for God to give us some kind of sign beforehand, isn't it? Lord, if you would just prove to me somehow that this is you. Lord, if you would just show me somehow that this is really what you want for me to do. When all the time we know in our heart that that's what God told us to do. And operating on faith says, I'm going to go ahead and do what I know God has told me to do. You see? Because what God wants is the very same thing. Basically, the conversation that God is having with Moses, and apply it to ourselves today, goes like this. Do what I tell you to do. I will deliver you through your situation. You will come to know me as deliverer by this experience. And then you will worship me. See, I believe that's what God wants us and how He wants us to experience Him. Do what He says to do. And God will carry us through whatever your Red Sea event is in your life, whatever the situation is, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, whatever is going on that you're looking at and saying, this is impossible. I know that God wants me to do this, but He doesn't understand what this other person has done. He doesn't understand how bad this situation is. He doesn't understand this person won't respond. He doesn't understand. Do you really think God doesn't understand? And yet, isn't that what we keep saying to ourselves over and over again? He doesn't understand. I know what the Bible says, but. I know that's what God tells me to do, but. And God is simply saying, there's no buts about it. Just do what I tell you to do. Because I've got a plan. I'm working in this. Do you think that through your Red Sea event, whatever it is that's gone on in your life or is going on, that God doesn't know that? Whatever it is. And God has a plan for getting you to the other side. What He needs from you and wants from you more than anything is to just do what He said. And so if he says, if the situation calls for you to just forgive the other person, just do what he said, and he will see you through the other side. Is that going to convince the other person? Is that going to fix them? Not necessarily. That depends on them. But he will see you through the other side. Whatever the circumstance is, God says, just do what I said. Just do what I said, and I will deliver you through that circumstance. And that is where we experience God. And we come to know Him by experience. You see, I think we are depriving so often ourselves of the experience of God simply because we don't obey Him. We don't do what He tells us to do. And we deprive ourselves of the opportunity to experience God as He works through that situation or circumstance in our lives and carries us to the other side, where then we can fall on our knees and worship Him and praise Him for having done so. Well, as we look at that whole concept, we keep running into that whole issue and question of, you know, we come up with a solution that we want to whatever the situation or the problem is, don't we? And most of the time, whenever we're faced with a Red Sea event, we've already figured out how it should work. Is that your experience? I know it is mine. You know, I got it. You know, hey, if God would just do this, if these people would just do this, if this person would stop doing this and do this instead, then everything would be fine. You see, I'm really good at figuring out how to solve these problems. I'm not very good at making them happen that way, though. You see? Because not everybody thinks like I do, and not everybody listens to me. Not everybody even asks me, you see? And so oftentimes the things don't work out the way I think they should, in the way that I want them to. So we're kind of faced with a dilemma sometimes, aren't we? You know, and it's that whole thing of, you know, well, God, I'm praying for this and it's not happening, and why aren't you doing this and so forth. I want to call your attention to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we look at this statement that says, even if He doesn't. And this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what had happened is that, you know, the king had this golden image that was made, you see. And whenever the trumpet sounded and the lyre and the harp were played, everybody was supposed to bow down to worship this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. And so when the king was told that these three Hebrews, these Israelites, refused to do what the king had commanded, the king was enraged over this. And he had them brought before him. Look in chapter 3, verse 16 is where we're going to pick up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. Wow. Our God is able to rescue us from this. That's their solution. But then they say that even if He doesn't, we will not disobey Him. And you see, brethren, we need to have that same attitude that says, even if he doesn't. Because I think sometimes that's what gets in the way. As I said a moment ago, we have our solution. We figured out how it's supposed to happen. We figured out the what if and if they would only and all of those scenarios. And we've concluded that this is what's going to happen. The problem is when it doesn't happen that way, we get discouraged. And sometimes our faith takes a really big hit. And we need to look at it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, even if he doesn't, I'm going to continue to do what God has told me to do. You see, I think that what happens sometimes is that we get a lot of Christian exercise by jumping to conclusions. You see? And we do that because we look at the situation and we try to interpret the signs of what's happening. You see? And then when we interpret the signs, you know, and those things don't work out, we look at it and go, it's just not working. And this isn't happening, or this person's not responding, and sometimes we're even, yeah, I've been praying earnestly for this, but nothing's happening. God's not working in this. And then from there, we come up with our own plan. And we start doing things our way instead of doing things His way. And first of all, what we've got to understand and remember is that just because it's not working out the way we think it ought to does not mean that God is not working. See? God is working. He just may not be working it out the way you've decided it ought to be worked out. See? And we need to understand that. Because that's when we're tempted to go our own way. And we say things like, as I mentioned a moment ago, I know what the Bible says, but... And we come up with our own plan and our own reasons and our own way to work this thing through. Our own solutions, which are never able to do what God intended to do. I had an article that I took out of the Sunday paper. This was from a couple of weeks ago. How many of y'all ever read the Pardon My Planet cartoon in the Sunday paper? Anybody? I guess I'm the only one. Not a lot of great cartoons there, but every once in a while they have a really good one. And this is one that really, when I read it, I went, wow, okay. This is the two young girls sitting there at the cafe table or whatever, and the one says to the other one, I found that when God closes a door, latches the window, and bolts the garage, I can still squeeze in through the doggy door. Yeah. And isn't that what we often try to do? You know, that maybe through God's plan that He closed that door because that's not where He wants us to go. And then we're, okay, well, I'll go through this window. And He closes that window and locks it. And we go, oh, okay, that's not the way. And so I'm going to get there somehow. And so then we try the garage door and doesn't. And God closes all of it because that's not what He wants you to do. But we're determined to do it our way. And so we're going to squeeze through the doggy door. How often do we do that with God? And all the time He's saying to us very plainly, that's not where I want you to go. But we are insisting. The God that we serve is able to work whatever your Red Sea events are in your life. He's able to work them out. Do you believe that? That was a question that generally, you know, requires an answer. You see? God is able, Paul says, to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. See? And we need to believe that, even if He doesn't work it out our way. We need to continue to follow Him and do what He says. Why? Because He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. God is able, and He's got a plan. We need to allow Him to work His plan. Now, all of that to say, okay, that God is calling us, every single one of us, through our experiences with Him, He is calling us to a relationship with Him, not just a task. And there's a big difference between those two. You see, I think that too many Christians have allowed themselves to be convinced that God has called them to a task that just simply says, what you got to do is believe and repent and confess and be baptized and go to church each week, and everything's fine. And that's what God wants you to do. And has God called us to each of those things? Absolutely. But that's not all that He's called us to. He's not called us to the task of going through some steps and checking off all the blocks. He's called us to a relationship with Him. Okay? He's called us into that relationship through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, what we celebrate today. You see, Jesus did not go through what He went through, you say, in order so that we could have a ritual. That's not what it was all about. It wasn't for Him to go to the cross just so that we could have something to do on the first day of every week to remember what He did. He called us to a relationship, and Jesus went through what He went through so that we could meet Him at the cross. So we could be in relationship with Him through the blood of His Son Jesus. That's why Jesus did what He did. It's for the relationship that God wants to have, that we can experience with Him on a day-to-day basis in our lives. He calls us to assemble. He calls us to go to church so that we can find strength and encourage one another in the daily stuff that we have to deal with. But that's not the main reason that He calls us. He calls us to relationship. And that task that God, the relationship that God has called us to is one that serves to demonstrate His love and His power in our lives on a daily basis. The experience that we have with Him, those things are intended to draw us to the cross of Jesus Christ. He calls us to lay ourselves and our sins at the cross, so that we can be in relationship with Him, so that we can experience His work in our lives. You see, the bottom line of all of this is this. With or without God, we are going to experience Red Sea events in our lives. That's part of life. Okay? That's part of life. You're not going to get out of this life without experiencing it. And what God calls us to is a relationship that says, let me show you how I can get you to the other side, rather than us trying to figure out how to do it ourselves. That's what God wants, is a relationship with you. That's why Jesus died. So that relationship will be an eternal one. Okay? And that's what He wants more than anything. That's why He sent His Son here, so that we could have that relationship, the experience with God in our lives, to know that God is truly living and active and working in our lives every day. God has a plan, and He will accomplish His work. Now, I hope that the things that we've been looking at thus far, as we've been talking about experiencing God, I hope they've challenged your thinking some to realize how much God wants to be in relationship with you. And if there's someone here this morning that you look at your life and you're going, but I'm not in relationship with Him because I haven't given my life to Christ yet, then I want you to know you can do that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, you can do that right now. You need to confess Him as Lord. You need to repent of the sin that's in your life, that sin that has been separating you from God. You need to have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait if you're ready to make that commitment. There's someone here this morning that maybe you've been trying to get things done your way and maybe even trying to do God's stuff, but you've been doing it your way and it's not working. You need some help, some encouragement, some guidance, prayers to do what God wants you to do. Then let us help you. That's, again, part of why we assemble, so we can encourage one another. And so if that's a situation going on with your life, then come up and let us know, and we'll lift you up before the Lord. Whatever your need is, we can't help you with it if we don't know what's going on. So we offer a time of invitation. Wes, if you'll come up and lead us in a song, and if we can serve you in any way, all you do is come up and let me know. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to go back and have a private prayer or just to discuss with him, and I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.